Hello and welcome to the Green Business Podcast, a show about climate entrepreneurs and their exciting businesses. I am your host Bharti for these weekly conversations about scaling up a climate-driven business. My guest today is Ravi Kumar from Staria Mobility. Staria makes owning electric vehicles very easy and affordable through its conversion kit that can convert any gearless IC scooter into an electric scooter. The conversion kit has been indigenously designed and ARAI approved, and the company has applied for multiple patents on its motor and kit design. Growing up in Bangalore, Ravi spent a lot of time in the electric repair shop that his family owned. He later studied engineering and then worked for over a decade designing and manufacturing motors across a number of companies, including his own startup, Ivari Motors. Staria was started in 2018, and it has taken them nearly 4 years to develop and commercialize the conversion kit. These kits have been available for trials for the last 6 months, and the company is now looking to start offering its products commercially. Hi, Ravi. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Bharti. Thank you very much for that wonderful introduction. Thank you.
Ravi, just curious to know, does Staria mean reaching for the stars? And can you talk to us about your journey of starting the company?
Yes. I mean, when the name originally was, we wanted to keep it as Arya, because the Western people kept it to Tesla, so we wanted to keep it Arya. But then we had the MCA tell us no, so we put a S next to that and made it Staria. So that is how we came up with the name. But yes, definitely reaching for the stars, so that at least we land on the moon. For sure.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. And a wonderful introduction. I think you've definitely covered the basis of what you know, what our product is and what we are offering. Very quickly, the reason why we chose to develop this electric propulsion kit is very simple in terms of what is the vision of our company. The vision of our company is to make cutting edge EV technology affordable, because there is cutting edge EV technology and there is affordable EV technology, but there's no synchronization between, you know, the both. If you need one, you kind of have to give up on the other. So that is the vision of the company, and that is the reason to kind of stay true to our vision. We've come up with this electric propulsion kit, as you rightly mentioned, which converts any gearless IC engine scooter to electric. And the reason why we did this is, out of many reasons, from a consumer point of view, there are, I think, 6 to 7 crore of these gearless IC engine scooters on road in India today, which is the highest population of two-wheelers on road in India. Now, if this EV adoption has to happen quicker, and you know, all of us need to migrate to electric technology, it is these majority two-wheeler riding population that has to take that leap of faith. Now, and when you boil it down and you see the riding pattern or the riding profile or the performance profile that these, you know, two-wheeler riding populations used to. So a simple example would be that, let us say somebody has been riding TVS Jupiter for 10 years, or maybe Suzuki Access for 12 years, or Honda Activa for 15 years. Now, when he wants to buy a new electric scooter, the least that he would expect is at least the new scooter should be as good as what he was used to for a decade. Now, this is where, you know, the cracks begin to appear in some of the business models that there is. Because if this guy wants to buy a new electric scooter which performs as good as his 125cc IC engine scooter, he has to shell minimum 1.25, 1.4 and maybe 1.6 lakhs. Now, if it is a European country, well and good, the GDP is good, everybody's earning power is good, all that is fine. But in a country like ours, the vast majority of this two-wheeler riding population is either middle class or lower middle class. And then couple that with the low shelf life of a battery pack, you almost have a kind of a atomic bomb business model. The consumer will definitely explode at one point or the other, either when his battery pack is dead or initially when the capex cost is so high. So this is the gap that we saw. And then we realized, okay, why don't we, you know, make an electric propulsion kit or design an electric propulsion kit from scratch, so that to the same customer, I can tell him, okay, boss, don't worry. Give me 35 to 40,000. Give me your old IC engine scooter. I will convert it and give you the performance of a 1.5 lakh electric scooter in terms of top speed, acceleration, mileage, features, IoT, and all of that. And then you're paying almost 3.50 rupees per kilometer for diesel or petrol. Give me 75 to 80 paisa for the battery pack, because the battery pack would be on subscription. We are also going to come up with a new business model where our conversion kit or the propulsion kit would also be on subscription, so that the customer can choose which he wants to go on subscription. But either which way, he will definitely have a low initial capex of 35 to 40 and then one of the two on subscription. So in this way, what happens is, like I initially told, to this vast majority, now they have their own scooter which they love, they like, emotionally attached to, you know, very happy with the performance. The same thing, we are kind of converting it at 1/3 of the price of a new electric scooter and 1/3 the running cost of your engine vehicle. Okay. So in this way, what happens is, ultimately, he has a very low risk model where, since the EV ecosystem is still developing, if he was on the wall thinking whether to go with EV or not, this is the best option, because at 35-40, he can use the converted scooter for the next 3 years or so. By the time, probably Staria themselves would have come up with their own electric scooter, or at least there would, the EV ecosystem would have matured to such a way that this guy can now take a decision of buying 1 lakh, 1.5 lakh electric scooter. So this is where we started, and from a customer's point of view, what is the business model?
Okay, so let me summarize it, Ravi. What you're offering is a conversion kit, which will convert an IC scooter into electric scooter for 35-40,000, which is maybe half or less, less than half the cost of buying a new electric scooter. Okay, so that much I understood. Now, if we were to compare retrofit scooter with any brand new scooter, there are several parameters, right? All these new EV companies, they talk about product design, battery performance, easy pickup,
right?
Other than price, of course, right. You have a huge advantage on price. So right. Now, right. Can you talk about the parameters where secondhand EVs can compete with the new EVs, and parameters where they will find it hard to compete?
Absolutely, yeah. So, very good question. So let me put it this way. Let us say today there is an X company that people consider one of the best electric scooters that there is in India, right? And that X company, acceleration is 0 to 40, I think, in 3.3 or 3.4 seconds. Has a top speed of 85 kilometers per hour and mileage of around 85 to 90 with some of the world-class IoT features, right?
Yeah.
So now, for argument's sake, let us say that this is the benchmark of the electric vehicle industry in terms of pickup, in terms of top speed, in terms of mileage, in terms of IoT and all of that. Now, I will tell you what our converted scooter will get. Our converted scooter, first thing, its acceleration is 0 to 40 in 3.7 seconds. Second, its top speed is 77 kilometers per hour and its mileage is 73 to 75 kilometers, actually tested on road, because we had gone on a road trip to Hassan and back recently just to check the mileage, on road mileage, and we've got almost 77, but we claim 70 to 75, and we have built our own app, and it has a lot of features in it, and almost anything that you can get in a high-end electric scooter is available within that app, where it is a monitoring device, it is an interactive device, and there are so many other things to it. So if you compare the X company and us, we are more or less matching whatever, you know, they give, and their price is around 1.55 to 1.6 lakhs and we are trying to give it at around 35 to 40k. I hope I was able to throw more light in the performance part.
Okay, so I am assuming you import the battery management system and the battery packs. So how are you thinking about battery performance and safety?
Absolutely. See, not just me, I think majority, not majority, all of us are importing the cells, lithium, maybe NFC cells. So what actually happens is that I cannot call it battery pack manufacturing because that is a very big term. I would call it as battery pack assemblers. That is what we all are. Means we get the cells and we create a mechanical structure around it, which has the outer structure, which has the inner structure. And then I think BMS, yes, some are there in the country and some do import, but then the BMS is integrated to this entire structure. So battery packs are assembled here. I cannot call it manufacturing because the biggest component there is being imported by all of us. Now coming to the safety aspects of it, which is definitely a huge requirement and a huge buzzword nowadays, especially when it comes to EV scooters, due to various reasons. Probably some people may know, but I think for the benefit of all, the government has now made it mandatory for all EV two-wheeler manufacturers to get their battery pack approved as per AIS 156, which is borrowed or which is definitely taken a large chunk of it from the European battery standards. Previously, the battery standard was AIS 048. Now, the difference between, or at least the major difference between 048 and 156 is that in 048, there were a lot of mechanical tests. And these mechanical tests are impact tests, vibration tests, thermal shock, various other tests, drop test. Now, what happens is in the 048, the criteria for your battery pack to pass was when these tests are conducted, the battery pack should not catch fume or should not explode. In 156, however, in spite of all these tests, the battery pack should still work. Now, that means you're asking for a big leap in, safety aspects, because you're saying, in fact, one of the tests, which is the impact test, there is, you won't believe, they subjected to 40 or 45 G of force, the battery pack, from all six sides of it. And in spite of all of that, the battery pack should still work. Previously, that was not the case. Now, I'm also happy to say that Starya Mobility, just about 15 days ago, is one of the first companies in India to have their battery pack approved as per AIS 156. And like cherry on the cake, we are the first people in the entire country to have built both the motor and controller from scratch ourselves and also get it ARAI approved. So this is where the safety factor of the battery pack comes into the picture, because see, the central government or the ARAI definitely have proper, standards in place to check for everything. I just told you a small snippet of the gamut of tests that they conduct, the mechanical, they do short circuit, internation, there are so many things. The point here is that what happens is, definitely, this is my opinion. I cannot, source references for this. This is my opinion from my experience is that all manufacturers' basic ethical duty should be that whenever they are starting manufacturing or starting assembling these battery packs, they use the same cells, the same packing material, and the same BMS that they had sent to get it approved by ARAI. Now, if corners are cut during that time, what happens is any small short circuit, it may be internal or external, that is when it starts catching fire. So the gist of the entire discussion is, if you get your battery pack approved by AIS 156 and if you can maintain the same quality throughout, there is very, very low chances of these fires happening. So I hope, in a way, I was able to throw light as to what we are doing to maintain that, and also what the changes, recent changes in the battery pack testing standards.
Okay, got it. You are saying the standards are higher and your battery pack has passed those, and you are going to ensure that each of your scooter or retrofit kit has the same pack, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now another question. See, to begin with, you are starting with an old scooter, most likely a 10-year old scooter or whatever, 8-year old scooter. And then even though you are selling a conversion kit, but you are guaranteeing the performance of the scooter, isn't it? So what all are you going to do to ensure that the old scooter that you started with is performing as good as a new scooter?
Okay, one wonderful question again. Now, this is very quickly, there's a two-part answer to this. The first part is mandatory or regulatory, meaning to say, if I take the converted scooter to the RTO office, there are certain minimum things that the scooter must comply to if the RTO inspector has to give the FC. Some of the examples are, there should be no bend and crack in the chassis, all your horn, means telltale in, signs, horns, indicators, all of that should be working, there has to be two mirrors, then the brake liner and the brake pad should be of a certain quality, and the tires should not be worn out beyond a certain level. All of that are then scientifically, right?
Yeah.
So the second part is, adding to that, we have built a software platform where the procedure is such that either you get the scooter to our authorized dealer or to our factory, or we send our authorized people to your home. Either which case, what happens, or the starting point of the entire conversion process is that we do something known as a pre-diagnosis inspection report right in front of you, which takes half an hour, and we test the entire vehicle in static and running condition and tell you that these are all the things that we feel, you know, is not working or would be better if it is replaced. Amongst all these things, we would tell them these things are mandatory, like I just mentioned you, the 5-6 things. These things are optional. So based on what they say, of course, mandatory, they don't have a choice. They have to, you know, get it done. So then we tell them that you don't have to go here and there and get all of that. We will get everything done for you. And this would be the additional cost for that. But ultimately, to answer your question, when the scooter goes to RTO, which is our responsibility, and when before it gets, you know, FC done, we'll ensure that the scooter is fit and at least fit enough to run another 12 to 15 years.
Okay. Okay. And it may mean that they may have to spend another 10-15K to make it good, right?
So I mean, yes, the 15,000 is on the highest spectrum, okay, where if somebody gives me not 15, around 12,000 rupees, I can make a scooter look brand new. Trust me, we have done this for our customers, and it's the customers who have been telling me when they have taken the scooter on the road and next to the signal, there are people asking them whether Honda has released a new electric scooter or whether Axis has released a new electric scooter, because we kind of, you know, you can't even make out whether it's your scooter or not. But that is, you know, say you spend 12,000 additional and the whole scooter is made to look brand new, but it the minimum is around 3-4,000 extra. If some of the things are not, it can go up to 12k. It all depends on how you want the scooter to look when it is delivered to you.
Okay. And if we see the EV space, we see that startups have an edge over incumbents, right? Auto incumbents. We see Bajaj, Hero, or all these big guys partnering with EV startups.
Right.
Do you think retrofit startups such as yours will also have any edge over incumbents?
Yeah, very good question. See, I'll rather put it this way. See, at least this is my understanding, how majority of these automobile companies usually work are, they don't usually stray away from their core expertise. For example, if Honda Activa's or Honda company's core expertise is building new vehicles or building new two-wheelers, they usually don't stray away from their core expertise, because when they stray away from their core expertise, they're again dependent on expertise from someone else, not within their team, right? Because if it was within their team, then you're right. They can, you know, they might as well do it by themselves. Again, the question is, if we pay money, we can always get experienced, or we can, you know, buy people. But I would, my opinion is, ma'am, with money probably you can buy a company, you can buy people, but you can't buy first-hand experience, no matter how much money you have. And trust me, in the EV space especially, a lot of first-hand experience is required, because there is no prior data. Like something happens on the road, there is no prior data as to how this can be solved or what is it that is causing that. It is only people who have worked on it for, like people like us who have worked on it for half a decade, we know and we have data as to what exactly happens. So in this way, it would make easier sense for OEMs to kind of tie up with people like us and then release some sort of an official statement. For example, Honda or TVS can say, okay, boss, we've tied up with Staria and all our scooters, you know, whoever wants to get it converted can get it converted from Staria, and whoever, you know, goes through us or goes through our reference or whatever, we give them some special this, special that. So they can actually kind of tie up and they can call us their official retrofit partners, if I can call it that, rather than trying to start something by their own, because then their focus will be diluted from their original product, which most companies don't like. So yes, I do see some sort of, you know, traction there. But I would rather see it like a joint venture or some sort of an official retrofit partner than them trying to do everything by themselves.
Because it's not their core competence.
Absolutely, ma'am. Okay. They'll get diluted from, you know, what they're trying to do.
Okay. And, you know, what are you thinking in terms of going to the market? So are you setting up service centers, and these traditional auto two-wheeler dealers, are they interested in dealing with retrofit scooters?
Absolutely. So we don't like to call them dealers or distributors, but the akin to this business model is a dealer distributor model, but instead we call them authorized Staria conversion centers and authorized Staria conversion points. Meaning to say, now let me take example of, for example, Surat, right, in Gujarat. Right. So Surat may have one authorized Staria conversion center and they may have four Staria conversion points. If you take Bangalore, Staria conversion center is our factory, and we have about we have already onboarded 5 to 6 Staria conversion points. So what basically these points do is they are more like aggregators who in turn onboard garages. So if I split Bangalore and give it among 6 of these guys, each of their area, they will in turn go and onboard garages, so that our offline marketing, organic offline marketing, is taken care. Centralized marketing, of course, will always be there. But the whole idea is that, the simple idea is, we know since it's a retrofit market, half of our customers can come through garages. Somebody wants to change their brake pad, somebody wants to change their liner. Okay. Because we are always comfort, after say 8 to 10 years, most of us are comfortable with local garages, who's probably a stone's throw away from us. So you go to him for something or the other. And this is where, you know, we want to create this network where these garages are onboarded, SCPs onboard them, and then they fall under the SCC, and the SCC falls under us. So what happens is, the garages kind of, you know, are the starting points, if I may, one of the starting points, and then they direct these customers to an SCP, where an SCP aggregates. For example, place like Bangalore, or let us say Hyderabad, there is one area, let's say Jubilee Hills, there is one guy, and then this guy, the SCP aggregates all the scooters, or say 50-100 scooters, and then he takes this and sends it to an SCC. An SCC is like Staria only, where the actual conversion happens. So the actual conversion happens there, and then we give it back to the SCP. He gets it registered by the local RTO and also takes care of the after sales service. So this is our market penetration strategy, and this is how we are trying to reach people.
Okay, got it. So these are not the dealers of other EVs who are selling these scooters, but these are the garages where IC scooters are anyways going to get overhauled, right?
The garages are the first point. Above them is the Staria conversion point, above them is the Staria conversion center, and then there is Staria mobility.
So these conversion centers are first timers, people who are setting up with the skills to convert, right? These will be some kind of workshops,
yes.
No?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I would call it almost a factory, because they need a factory like ours to convert when it goes to scale. Okay. So they have special type of training, SCPs have special type of training, and garages have special type of training. And more importantly, we train and certify all the people within our network and give them certificates, so that everybody knows that they are authorized by us.
Oh, so you have to find new people who would be setting up all this, right?
That is only on the SCC level. SCP level also, the same dealer, the dealer who does IC engine, can still moonlight as ours. So new people will have to only find on the SCC level. SCP and garage, like I said, we use the existing network.
Okay, wonderful. And now, can you talk about where you are in terms of your journey, and what are the next 6 months looking like?
Sure, ma'am. So we are in the final phases, or we are in very early stages of commercialization and in the final phases of product validation. We've been, like you mentioned, we've been running our scooters for almost a year now, or more than a year, on road, and we have tried to solve as many problems as required, because we believe in slow, steady and organic growth rather than, you know, scale uncontrollably. So as of today, we are in very early stage of commercialization. We are beginning to roll out, say, 5-10 scooters every week and putting it on road and seeing its performance for the next 2 months. And some 500 odd people, I think we had opened our booking window for 5 to 7 days, within which some 500 plus people had booked. We closed that window in December. And to those people, the scooters are beginning to get converted from this month onwards. And probably we will see the performance of these scooters to July end. And we are hoping to go full scale or start taking bookings to, you know, to the common public or to the mass public, probably from August onwards.
Okay. And lastly, Ravi, where can we find these Starya service centers and when?
See, it's starting from Bangalore. Probably by this month end, on our website, we will give a list of all our authorized Starya conversion points. Centers, for the time being in Bangalore, it is us only. Okay. But at least you'll find the Starya conversion. We are going to put the names of the authorized Starya conversion points in Bangalore on our website by this month end. By the end of July, we're planning to go to Pune, Surat and Chennai. These three only, and probably by the end of July, though, the authorized Starya conversion points in those three, and Hyderabad, sorry, those four places will be available on the website, where people can go see that whoever is their nearest conversion point, they can go take a trial ride, and probably if they decide to, they can book. But initially, I think for the first 1,000 customers, the waiting period may be 30 to 45 days. After that, slowly we'll try to, you know, reduce the waiting period.
Okay, thank you. That's a wonderful place to, you know, end our conversation on. Thank you so much, Ravi, for your time, and I hope to see you in these Starya service centers in near future.
Thank you so much, Bharti.
Thank you for listening to the Green Business Podcast. This show is brought to you by Fintrain, an advisory firm that supports green businesses in fundraising. You can read more on us on fintrain.com. Thanks again, and see you next time.